Good evening to everybody. Parashat Shlach, of course, deals at great length with the story of the Meraglim. And the Rambam, of course, in the end of Hilchos Deos in Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, has very strong comments to make about the story of the Meraglim. And the Rambam posits that Lo Nechtam Gzar Dinam, Shel Dor HaMidbar, the decision and the ultimate decree that our ancestors received in the desert, was received openly al Lashon Hara Bilvad, on the chet, on the sin of Lashon Hara. Of course, there are many terrible things and avonos and averos that took place throughout the 4-year sojourn in the desert, but the Rambam is very articulate and very explicit. The only thing that sealed our fate, the only thing that sealed our punishment, our long galus, our first, potentially, of all very difficult galusim after Yetzias Mitzrayim, was the fact that we spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Certainly the basic storyline of the opening psukim and the opening section of Parashat Shlach deals with Moshe commanding and telling Bnei Yisrael, because of the fact that they desired to see Eretz Yisrael and to scout out Eretz Yisrael and to spy out Eretz Yisrael, Moshe acquiesced to their request and ultimately allowed them to go and to spy into Eretz Yisrael. Of course, they came back with a negative report opposed to encouraging, uplifting, inspiring their brothers and sisters, their families, about the beauty of the land of Eretz Yisrael and the excellent nature of the land of Israel and the spiritual nature of Eretz Yisrael. They only came back with a poor report, a bad report, a negative report, and ultimately as a result of that negative report that sealed our 40 years in the desert. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Chet of Lashon Hara and understand its relationship to the Meraglim, and ultimately how and why this sin is so painful, so difficult, that it sealed our faith in the Midbar, and openly continues to threaten and conquer and overtake many of us today. Rashi in the opening pasuk teaches and asks a very basic question, and notes that there's a very clear juxtaposition and a connection between the end of Parshas Bashalach and the beginning of Parshas Shlach. The end of Parshas Balotcha, last week's Parshas, of course, deals with Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe, and the beginning of Parshas Shlach speaks at length about the chet of the Meraglim speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Rashi notes that there are two storylines both dealing with Lashon Hara, and Rashi asks, as a result, quoting the Medrash Tanchuma, Lama Nismacha Parshas Meraglim and Parshas Miriam? Why does the Torah connect the Parsha of the Meraglim, this week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, to the Parsha of Miriam speaking about Lashon Hara? Answers the Medrash, quoting Rashi, Lefi Shaloksa al Iske Dibra Shadibra Be'achya. As a result of the punishment that Miriam received, she received tzaras, ultimately was quarantined for a series of 7 days, the Rishayim Halalu, and these Meraglim, these wicked people, they saw what happened to Miriam. They saw that she received tzaras. They saw the difficulty, the pain, and the punishment. The fact she was badad, she stayed outside of the machne, the fact that she was quarantined for such a significant time, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send her a particular punishment, the Rav Alolak Chumusar, and there's still the Meraglim came along and didn't learn their lesson and still spoke Lashon Hara. That is what Rashi said. Farshi Rashi are bothered. What's the connection between the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about her brother and the story of the Meraglim speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? We can understand readily how if an individual speaks Lashon Hara about somebody else, i.e. Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe, that's painful, that's difficult. A human being has emotions, has sensitivities, and has feelings. So therefore, it's readily understandable that Moshe would be hurt, Moshe would be challenged. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, and of course, Klal Yisrael will learn a lesson from that, not to speak Lashon Hara about other people. But how can the Medrash understand, and how could Rashi explain that the reason that our Parsha, Parsha Shlach, dealing with the Chet of Meraglim, speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, about inanimate objects, about sticks and stones, rocks and land and water, is it fortified? Is it not fortified? Are the people big? Are the people small? You're talking about Eretz Yisrael, that's an inanimate object. How could you learn from the chet of Miriam, which is speaking about a person, that we could understand, not to speak about other people? But how could we learn from the chet of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe, that we too should also not speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, about an inanimate object? Question number one. Question number two, the Gemara says in Maseches Erchin Daf Tezvav, there's a great discussion about the Chet of Lashon Hara. Tanya, Amra Belaza ben Parta, Bo Re'e Kamagadol Koach Shal Lashon Hara. See how great, how wicked, how bad the Chet, the sin of Lashon Hara is. Minalan asks the Gemara, from where do we know? The Gemara answers, Mimaraglim. We know how bad and difficult and painful and disgraceful the chet on Lashon Hara is based upon the story of Meraglim, our parasha, Parashat Shlach. The Gemara offers a kal v'chomer. Uma moti shem ral eitzim ve'avanim kach, just like one, the Meraglim, who spoke about eitzim ve'avanim, sticks and stones and rocks and inanimate objects, received such a severe punishment of 40 years in the desert. Kach hamoti shem ral chaver lachas kama v'kama. Certainly, if a person speaks inappropriately, badly, poorly, true or not true about his friend, certainly the chomer, the pain, and the onus will be that much greater. So again, we could ask the question, what's the connection? Why should we learn from the fact that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara about an inanimate object, that it was such a painful, terrible, and drastic onesh that we received? How would you see from there a kol shekein, a kal v'chomer, that one should also not speak Lashon Hara about one's friend, about another individual? It would seem that three chidushim, three points can be gleaned from Rashi's comparison of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara to the Chet HaMeraglim, and the fact that the Gemara understands that as a result of the Chet of the Meraglim, inanimate object, we could also learn to other aspects of Lashon Hara between people. Clearly there's an equation, and there is no distinction, and there's no difference between speaking Lashon Hara about an individual, Bin Adam L'Chavero, and speaking about an inanimate object. The Gemara doesn't seem to have any distinction. Chazal don't, as Rashi quoted in the Medrash Tanhuma, understands that we should have learned from the fact that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe to the fact that we shouldn't speak Lashon Hara about an inanimate object, Eretz Yisrael. And certainly the Gemara understands the same way. Just like you don't speak inappropriately about an inanimate object, i.e. Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't speak about one's friend either. But that's point number one. Clearly there's an equation, there's equality, and there is absolute significance in speaking inappropriately about somebody else or about a chefza, a thing. The second chiddush that emerges is that indeed there's an issur to speak Lashon Hara about an inanimate object. Who would have thought that it would be inappropriate to speak about a stick, a stone, about a house, about a land, about the weather? Why would that be bad? I'm not speaking badly or negatively about somebody else. Kamash Malachim, the Gemara, and Rashi quoting the Tanchuma seems to indicate very clearly that there's also a chet of Lashon Hara when you speak about a thing itself, not a person. The third chiddush, the third novel idea which emerges from these two comparisons, Rashi and the Gemara, is that there's an issur to speak Lashon Hara about a person who doesn't even feel pain or discomfort or displeasure, or a person who's not even hurt as a result of somebody speaking negatively about him. Where do we see that? The Rambam, at the end of the Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, notes that there's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Balotcha that seems to be out of place. The pasuk says in Perek Yudbeis, pasuk Gimel, V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od. Moshe was exceedingly humble. Mikol Ha'adam Hashel Pnei Adama, from any man that walked the face of this earth. Asks the Rambam, why is that pasuk written here about Moshe's humble nature, Moshe's characteristic trait? That belongs when you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu himself, maybe in a eulogy, as fit for Moshe. But why is that parsha and that pasuk specifically placed in between Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe and then the Chet HaMeraglim? The Rambam suggests the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, exceedingly humble, more than any other human being, meant that he wasn't affected by anything anybody said about him. Even Lashon Hara, even when Miriam spoke inappropriately about him, that didn't affect him. Says the Rambam, now you can understand. If the Jewish people, Miriam, spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, who wasn't even affected by the fact that he was spoken about, and Moshe almost was an inanimate object, certainly Bnei Yisrael should have learned from there that they shouldn't speak about other inanimate objects. If Moshe is inanimate, Moshe doesn't have feelings, and Moshe is not affected. If Moshe's sensitivities are so low that he's not affected by Lashon Hara, we shouldn't speak about Eretz Yisrael either. So a third idea which emerges from these comparisons is the fact that it also is usher to speak about somebody else, even if they're not affected, offended, sensitive, or pain, and it just bounces right off of them, it's still usher to speak about such an individual. How do we understand that it's usher to speak about an inanimate object? It's prohibited to speak Lashon Hara about a thing, about Eretz Yisrael. How do we understand that it's usher to speak Lashon Hara about somebody who's not bothered by that? And in general, how do we understand these two comparisons that Rashi and the Gemara make? And the Sefer Chavetzelis HaShon of Binyamin Karlbach points out that what emerges from here is the chet and the isser and the prohibition of Lashon Hara is not just the chet bin adam l'chaver, between man and man, but it's also a chet bin adam l'atzmo or bin adam l'makom. Because I'm not hurting somebody else. I'm speaking about the land. I'm not hurting somebody else because the person doesn't feel it. Nonetheless, there's still an iser, a prohibition to speak about an inanimate object or a person who's not bothered by it being spoken about because it's insulting to the misaker, to the person himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each of us a ruach memalava, the ability to speak properly and nicely and kindly and benefiting other people. However, when we speak lashon hara, it's not only that I'm hurting somebody else necessarily, but I'm hurting myself. And I'm paining myself, and I'm inflicting poison into the kadosh path, to the holy mouth that we were given by a kadosh baruch Hu. Here you see that the chet of lashon hara is not only ben adam lechaver between man, not only is it an interpersonal negative commandment, but it's also an iser kaviyachol ben adam lamakom between man and God, and between man and himself. If we take a look in the Rambam, the end of Hilchos Deos, Parag Zayin, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, the three averos that a person receives punishment for in this world, and such an individual has no portion in the world to come. What are those three? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Dam, and the three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilui Arayos, inappropriate relationships, Shvichas Dam, murder. The Rambam that says, Lashon Hara Keneged Kula. Lashon Hara is equivalent for them all. If the chait of Lashon Hara is bein adam lechaver, between man and man, how can you equate the chait of Lashon Hara with shvichos damim, avodah zarah, and gilui arayos? The three cardinal sins, the worst of the worst. If I'm only hurting somebody else's feeling, then it shouldn't be equated on such a level as gilui arayos, shvichos damim, avodah zarah. It must be that Lashon Hara is also a chait bein adam lemakom. It's also a chait bein adam lehatzmo. Rambam continues, calling a sapper Lashon Hara kilu kafar beikar. If somebody speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if they are denying God. We see the pain and the difficulty of Lashon Hara is so great, it's as if you deny God, it's an aver ben adam l'makom. But Amru Chachamim, shlosha Lashon Hara hareges. Lashon Hara kills three people. Ha'omro, the person who says it, v'amekablo, the person who hears it, v'zeh she'omer love, and the person about which the Lashon Hara is being said. You see, ha'omro, the person who speaks, the person who hears it, and the person being said about are all equated, must be that the chait of Lashon Hara is so painful, and it's so difficult, and so traumatic, and it's so challenging, not only because it inflicts pain upon somebody else, but because of what it does to a person's peh, and lashon hara does to a person's lips, and mouth, and tongue. Therefore, as a result, we can now understand the connection, the correlation that Rashi makes and that which the Gemara makes. Clearly, there is no difference between speaking about somebody else or about speaking about an inanimate object or speaking about somebody who's not pained and affected and is not sensitive when they're spoken about. Because the chait of Lashon Hara is about me, myself and I, not about the other person that I'm speaking about. And therefore, it's prohibited to speak Lashon Hara about an inanimate object. It's prohibited to speak Lashon Hara about somebody who's not affected by it. And that's the equation that the Gemara makes, absolutely and positively. There is another element which emerges from the fact that it's prohibited to speak about an inanimate object. Chavetz Chaim says in Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, it's also prohibited to speak about somebody else's belongings because you're speaking about that person. When I insult somebody's belongings, somebody's possession, it's as if I'm insulting them. So therefore, if I speak about an inanimate object that is belonging to somebody else, so essentially I'm affecting and offending the owner of that person himself. Similarly, when you speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, you're speaking Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the owner of Eretz Yisrael, who's the Baal HaBayis, who's Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that, says the Chavetz Chaim, is another reason why it's prohibited to speak Lashon Hara about an inanimate object. There is another chiddush that emerges from the beginning of this week's Parsha, Parshas Meraglim, and that is we see that there's an independent prohibition to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Rambam says in Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, the din, the ultimate judgment and the painful onesh that we receive, b'midbar ela lashon hara b'lvat. The Rambam understands and learns that there is a negative independent issue to speak lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael. That's what comes out from the Chet Maragon. Interestingly enough, and later Achonim make this point, the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Lashon Hara doesn't note and doesn't quote and doesn't cite that it's an issue to speak lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael. Later, Achorim questioned why it is that the Chavetz Chaim doesn't mention this as an independent iser. Certainly see that the Rambam understands as such. And some Achorim note that to speak poorly about the weather in Eretz Yisrael, it's too hot, it's too cold, the roads aren't paved, it's difficult, it's uncomfortable, there are challenges, there's difficulties. Speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael in and of itself is prohibited and in and of itself is asur. Chafetz Chaim further points out another lesson that you learn from the Chet and the Raglan. That's a very basic principle and a very important point, and that's lodun kol echad ve'echad l'kafskos, that we have to judge every single individual favorably. And that, says the Chafetz Chaim, is the yesod, is the fundamental principle not to enter a situation lashon hara. Many of the times when an individual speaks lashon hara, the reason you speak lashon hara is because you're not giving the individual the benefit of the doubt. There's always two ways to size up a situation. It could be positive and it could be negative. But give the individual, give the situation a second pair of eyes, a second pair of glasses. Look it through, think it through, calculate. Is it so quick and shall I be so quick to jump to conclusion? Because possibly there's another way to look at it. Chafetz Chaim continues and explains that that's the same chet that you see here with the chet of Raglan, also the chet of Yosef and his brother. That if the brothers would have given Yosef the benefit of the doubt, they would have never put Yosef into such a predicament, in such a situation, and things may have turned out differently. The chet of Lashon Hara speaking to their father and quickly being motzi diba al achiv about their brother, that's what led them into the difficulty, only as a result of them not giving him the benefit of the doubt. Another chiddush which emerges from here, and it's a straightforward chiddush, is that the chet of Lashon Hara is speaking about something negatively, even though it's true. Of course, the million-dollar question is, what did the miracle do wrong? They were asked to report, and indeed they reported. One can suggest that they didn't report exactly back, or they gave their own interpretation, and they started explaining things not the way that they were supposed to, and they interpreted the mission without just simply reporting facts. But at the end of the day, they said things that were true. Says the Chafetz Chaim from the Chet HaMeraglim, you see as well, that speaking Lashon Hara means that you're saying something true. Even though you're saying something true, if it's negative, it's also prohibited, and it's also wrong. Afal Pishu Emes, says the Chafetz Chaim, even though it's true, that indeed is the Chet HaMeraglim, that's why it's so difficult, that's why it's so painful, and that's why it's so wrong. Finally, of course, we're familiar that there are heterim, there are situations when it's permitted to speak Lashon Hara, only if it's L'Tolela, if there's a reason, if there's a good reason to speak Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim has a list of about seven klalim, as to when some situations considered L'Tolela, and the Chafetz Chaim notes that, of course, in this situation, when the Meraglim were speaking Lashon Hara, there was no Tolela, there was no positive nature that came out of it, and based upon the qualifications and the items, and the list that the Chafetz Chaim says, the Meraglim had no reason and no recourse, and ultimately that's what sealed their faith and sealed the faith of the Dor HaMidbar. What emerges from the Chet HaMeraglim and emerges from the Halachas of Lashon Hara is the Chomer and the severity of speaking inappropriately. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Kli Kadosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mouth, our lips, our tongue, to be able to speak positively, to be able to be misfollowed to daven, to learn Torah, to speak nicely and to do chesed, and to act and treat others kindly, to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, hello, goodbye, thank you, you're welcome. That's how we were created and that's what we were created to do. When we speak either about somebody else, or we become accustomed to speaking negatively, even if it's about a thing that will not be affected, or a person that will not be affected, because they're strong enough and positive enough, and they're not sensitive. Nonetheless, it's still prohibited because it changes our makeup. Our DNA was intended to be speak in a profound way, in a refined way, and we were unable to do so, and we don't have the wherewithal and the challenge to do so, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach to learn from the Chet HaMeraglim, to learn from the Chet of Miriam, and to recognize the power and the importance of speaking properly. Of course, at the end of Shachas every morning, there are Sheish Zechiros, there are six remembrances, and amongst those six remembrances is don't forget the Chet of Miriam. Don't forget what Miriam did. Don't forget what happened and what occurred as a result of her speaking Lashon Hara. And the reason that we're supposed to recall that, the reason that we're supposed to remember that, is exactly for that reason, to start our day, to remember how to talk and to how to get our day off to a good start. And we're able to speak positively and to benefit people and to speak positively about other people. Kadosh Baruch Hu will recognize that and will allow us to do what we are supposed to do. Zachor es asher asa Hashem lokech leMiriam. Remember what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. B'derech b'teischem b'mitzrayim. The punishment, the difficulty, and the pain that Miriam suffered, being quarantined, receiving tzaras, being badad l'machaneh, being separate from the entire encampment, and ultimately the Jewish people not learning as a result, and speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and the punishment and the difficulty that we suffered as a result of Dor Midbar is exactly what sealed our faith and punished, and was the reason that we received our punishment. We should learn our lessons, we should learn from our mistakes, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, and we should be able to speak properly, to talk properly, to benefit others, and to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu.